Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
You are physically bundled up.
Yes, I am.
Your arms are around your shoulders. You're holding your coffee.
My coffee feels extra warm and toasty this morning, when it's so, so very cold.
I haven't had a sip of mine yet.
Oh, I recommend. I recommend doing that thing where you wrap your hands around a hot beverage of whatever, just a nice mug that's warm.
Okay, I'm going to put you in control. I'm going to go get my coffee.
Go get your coffee.
You're in control.
You need something warm. We were talking about this last night. The kids have a plan today. They're not going outside, obviously.
That's a game changer.
It feels so good.
Yes.
They all want hot cocoa. Just because it's so cold, we're doing a hot cocoa day today.
God love my wife. When we go all in on themes, sometimes we go a little too far all
in.
And we've done this the last few Christmas Eves. We try to do these hot cocoa bars. But by that point of the evening, people are so full.
I've already eaten a full meal, and that is a heavy drink.
A few people want them, but we just then continue to hoard hot cocoa. So the next time you're having hot cocoa, let me know a day
Please
in advance.
Give me advance warning.
I will load you up on hot cocoa.
That would be amazing.
Do they have their school packets ready to go?
They do. Yes, they were printed off yesterday, and they handed them out to all of the students. There was some confusion about, like, it's a lot of pages. But some are the pages for you and some are pages for other kids and
got it.
You just got to find yours.
How much actual time do you think it will take them to get through the packet today?
I think they recommend like an hour for elementary kids and like 90 minutes for the older kids.
So school is 90 minutes today.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then what?
Well, thank you for asking. I don't know what.
I have created an indoor activity that might be able to transfer to your home.
Oh.
If you would like to play.
It's a game?
Yes. All you need is a radio station.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for the rules. There's got to be rules.
No, it's just, quite frankly, I walk into this room and there's so many computer screens in front of us.
Right.
But the one that has all of the sounds, the songs, every commercial, like it is our library,
yes.
Right? For some reason was queued up to like the sound effects page.
Oh, fun.
So I thought I would just throw some sound effects at you and then you could tell me what they are.
Okay.
And maybe this could transfer to a home version. I don't know.
All right.
Name, all you need is a radio station.
Name that sound.
Yeah. What is this sound?
That is it is a gong, but it's right before Buttons by Pussycat Doll. yes.
A gong. I would
next.
Gong. Okay, what is this sound?
Knocking on a door. Oh, and opening the door.
Excellent. How about this?
Frog.
Very good. This one's a little harder. Just wait, listen.
Weirdly specific. There was an explosion and then some fallout.
Imagine if you are on a big wooden ship and I'm on a big wooden ship and we're battling each other.
Is that like a cannonball?
That's a cannonball!
Wow!
Yes!
Wow!
Would you like to go on to the championship round?
Do you think I deserve it after that?
Yeah, you do. All right.
Hit me.
Number one. Why? What are you doing?
Because you're running.
Yes, excellent. Okay.
Oh, changed there. That's a flute.
What kind of flute?
It's a pen flute.
Oh my God, you are so good at this game.
Wow! Are you serious?
For all of the prize money.
Oh my gosh. I'm so nervous.
You need to identify this sound. I don't like that sound.
Okay, I was going to say
I'm going to give you a different
and
sound.
And then I was going rain.
I don't know who put it in the computer. That was hot oil.
Oh.
That was,
I was not
that's
gonna
not
get
fair.
That. I was not going to get that, Eric.
All right. How about this one instead?
That is a cow.
Wrong.
It's an ox?
It's an ox!
It's an
ladies
ox!
And gentlemen!
Yeah! Woohoo!
You lost because you guessed wrong.
Second guesses count. Second guesses count in this game.
That's called the sound effects game. Did you like it?
And you can guess as many times as you want.
Yeah, you can guess as many times as you want to get it.
You know what?
We would have been here for a while on hot oil.
I'm glad that you were playing at the elementary level for me, so I got to do as many guesses as I want. And you retracted the hot oil.
I did. That was a horrible version.
I would not have gotten that right. But it is a tricky sound, though, right?
It is. Yes, I agree.
All that crackling and popping, because I'm like, it sounds like it's hot, like fire. But
bubbling, boiling sound, but there's a viscosity to it that you need to capture as well. Well
yeah, and then if you get it to a certain temperature, then it does get to popping like that.
For sure. That was fun.
That was fun. Yeah. Thanks for the game, Eric.
You're welcome.
Wow.
So if you want to play at home, just get a radio station.
All you need.
And then a big old list of sound effects.
Fun
and a
game.
Willing participant. That was the sound effects game.
And what a year to turn 50. We were talking about a couple weeks ago in Z's Sleaze, there was a big list of a ton of celebrities who are turning 50 this year. And here is another famous 50-year-old. A snowball from San Jose, California.
Wait, and somebody made a snowball 50 years ago and kept it?
Yes, a 64-year-old man named Jeff Seamus on February 5th of 1976. It was a big deal because it's California and it started snowing. So he was a teenager at the time.
He's 14, yeah.
Yeah. He goes outside, he packs some of the snow that was on the front yard, and he makes a snowball. And he's like, Mom, we need to keep this forever. This was a really big moment in my childhood. And she did. Jeff's mom, Betty, kept it in an empty Skippy peanut butter jar for decades. It stayed there, and he found it when she passed away in 2017.
It had been sitting in her freezer this entire time.
The entire time. So Jeff's like, well, I did this. I created this snowball. I put it in the freezer. My mommy. He didn't say mommy.
I'm sure he did. He started getting very emotional. And then he just went, My mommy kept Skippy.
My mommy kept this for me. So he's like, I have to continue its life. I have to carry this on. So he moved the snowball. As an adult, he lives in Reno, Nevada. He packed it in dry ice.
This now sounds like you're part of a heart transplant team.
It is, kind of. You know what? You have to save a snowball and you have to move it from across state lines. So he packs it in dry ice. It made it. It's kind of shifted shape. There's been a couple like power outages and things beyond your control where it's like, we got to keep stuff cold.
I'm guessing it's now the shape of inside of a peanut butter jar.
Mostly. And I got some bad news for Jeff's kids. He wants them to inherit the snowball.
Guys, it's in the will. You have to take it. Them's the rules.
They don't care.
You have to take it, kids.
He's hoping that by the time he passes away, that they will have started caring. But there's no telling at this point.
They're not going to.
I don't think they will.
They are not going to.
Jeff, I don't know how to tell you this. They're not going to magically start caring about
your
old snowball.
There's some furniture in China that my mom could see in my house once I got married. We sold that stuff faster.
It's gone, man.
It's all gone.
Gone.
Do you think science could carbon date frozen water and actually determine how, like, let's say it does get kept for another 50 years? Because I've heard of, like, you could carbon date a solid thing.
Like the age of water?
Yeah, I don't know.
But water is constantly in a cycle.
But once you've frozen it, it stops doing what it does. But can you, I'm getting really nerdy on you. Sorry, it's Friday.
I don't know. Yeah, sorry, it's a Friday.
It's nerd news day.
We tend to go down these rabbit holes on Fridays.
Processing. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just like, getting into the science of it.
It changes and
I mean, it's also going to have a little flecks of peanut butter in it till the end of time.
Let's be completely honest. It's always going to smell like Skippy.
I'm just glad they marked it. Because think of all the crap in your freezer that was never marked. And you end up throwing it out because you don't know what it is.
Can't even tell what this
is. It's not even worth opening the foil. You just throw it away.
Yeah, but when you see that Skippy jar in the freezer, you know.
That's the snowball from 1976.
Wow.
America's birthday snowball.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
Something eerie happened this morning, and I wouldn't know if it happened with Rex, too.
What?
So this involves Roland.
Okay.
We have a typical routine. I get up and get ready. He knows I'm getting ready. I mean, dogs are very intuitive.
They are, yeah.
And they're also very schedule-focused, and they're very food-motivated. All of the above.
Yes, yes.
So he's on the bed. He's kind of staring at me, and I grab my sweater. I'm like, let's go upstairs, right? Uh-huh. So far, so good.
Yep.
He gets to the top of the stairs, and then I have not yet opened the door. He has not felt the coldness. Yet when I go to ask him to go outside, he hesitates.
Yeah, I don't want to do that, man.
Did your dog do that this morning also?
He did not, which I was surprised because he was like, I gotta go and go right now. But once he did and he was done, he was like, open, open. And I was waiting for him because I knew it was cold out there.
Oh, I propped the door open.
Yeah.
It just got me wondering, like, how do animals know when the weather's going to change? Even though I have a domesticated animal.
Uh-huh.
Like, how perceptive are they? Like, can they talk to the dead? I don't know. It's just every once in a while you go, he doesn't understand he understands temperature from what he feels like.
Right.
But he doesn't know how to read, doesn't know what we've been talking about. Yet I had not opened the door this morning and he was already like,
he's like, I don't think I want that.
Like, he's doubting his next move.
Uh-huh.
I just find that fascinating.
Any other day just scampers out, right?
And I'm also outside getting the car warmed up and you're like, there's prints of animals that have gone through the snow at some point last night. How do they survive?
Mm-hmm.
It's frigid out there.
How do they do it?
Yeah. So animals, you're cool.
You guys.
You guys
are something
I'm
else.
Impressed by you. Good job, animals.
You're marveling at animals. I'm marveling at my breakfast. Because you and I, we did a lot of talk of cereal this summer, did we not?
Heck yeah.
With our cereal world
Big
record.
Big world record. Most people eating cereal in one location.
Huge. And I think at some point in like talking about cereal, I think we mentioned that your wife does not enjoy the sugar cereals as much as you would think.
Pretty limited as to what she goes towards. She's more a grape nuts person.
Grape nuts. I believe it was because he heard the suggestion on this program, but my husband bought a box of grape nuts.
What?
And they have been sitting in our cupboard. You know, grape nuts. I feel like it's the gravel of cereal.
Because it also gets worse as it gets soggier.
Okay.
Right?
So I hadn't had an actual bowl in a really long time. And this morning, I was like, I just need something simple. And there's nothing more simple than a bowl of cereal, right? Just two ingredients.
Cereal and milk.
And I looked at the cereal, and we have a lot. We had Cocoa Pebbles.
Yeah.
We had Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Double yeah.
We had Frosted Cheerios.
Oh, man. I want to come over for breakfast.
Dude, those were all like the most delicious looking cereals. But I was like, I'm an adult. I should probably just leave that for the kids and have the adult cereal. So I grabbed the grape nuts, which was a mistake. That is the worst cereal of all time. I kept putting sugar on it, hoping it got better, but it never got better. I just kept drinking the milk before I could drink the milk. What is wrong with that stuff?
And your husband bought it?
Yes.
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
This may have gotten talked about while I was on vacation because I think it's connected back to Christmas, but I just saw the story yesterday. His name is Remy Steinert. He's 3 and he lives in Sydney, Iowa. Where's Sydney, Iowa? You go to the furthest southwest corner of Iowa, it's there.
Over there.
Their family lives there because dad is in the Air Force and there's an Air Force base across the river in Nebraska.
Oh.
So they live there. He is into drumming, the little dude. And now, apparently, is the youngest musician ever to play at the Grand Ole Opry.
How did he have that happen to him?
There was a contest for King and Country. Which, if you've ever seen their shows, they have like a big drum.
Yeah.
And like the drummer gets elevated. So it was an online contest for Little Drummer Boy. They were looking for a Little Drummer Boy. Now, I don't know the criteria, but I do know Remy's story probably helped. Remy was born with a congenital heart defect. So the fact that he's around and playing drums, that in and of itself is a miracle. So the winner of the contest got to go to the Grand Ole Opry and play for King and Country on stage.
Wow.
So it appears, as it stands right now, the youngest person ever to play the Grand Ole Opry stage is 3-year-old Remy Steinert of Sydney, Iowa. And that record's probably going to hold for a long, long time. There's video online.
Aww.
You see the band is behind them doing all of their For King and Country drum stuff. And he's got headphones on and he's just playing a drum kit.
That is so cool.
It's really cool. Oh, it's really, really cool.
Go Remy.
That's got us feeling all right.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Oscar nominations came out yesterday, and it was a good day to be Ryan Coogler. Because his movie, Sinners, broke the record for most nominations for a single film ever.
Shannon told me that yesterday, and I'm still wrapping my head around that.
So I said it yesterday, but I don't think we processed it, because this previous record was 14 nominations, was the highest amount of nominations a single movie has received.
Now, technically, there's a new category, but even still.
True.
It just shows you, when you, not at least winning, but sweep the nominations from picture director, actor, screenwriting,
best supporting
cinematography,
actor, best supporting actress,
casting,
everything.
I think original song. Yeah.
Tons of stuff. The previous record was 14 nominations, and that was Shared. All About Eve, Titanic, and La La Land had the record for most nominations, but now that is Sinners with 16 nominations. And honestly, one battle after another also got a lot of nominations, 13 nominations, which is huge.
I got to tackle that one next, I think.
I recommend. I really enjoyed it. Like, if you like a little action, I mean, it's got everything. Leonardo DiCaprio, Tiana Taylor, Benicio Del Toro's in it, too.
Just like Coogler, it's written and directed by the same guy. Paul Thomas Anderson, maybe something.
Yep.
And like, I like his work. I like his style. I like the way he makes movies.
He's great. Yeah, he's great. And speaking of records, after being nominated as the star and the producer of Begonia, Emma Stone is now the youngest woman to get 7 Oscar nods at the age of 37. Meryl Streep was 38 when she did it in 1988, which is just like, wow, that's a
It's the
wild
same
record.
As when you put Taylor Swift's name in records that the Beatles have.
Yes.
Like, I have to comprehend that I'm living in that moment now, and then decades from now, Taylor Swift is like on top of the mountain. And
right.
Then who's the next? So to put Emma Stone and Meryl Streep in the same breath.
Isn't that wild?
Yes.
That's incredible. So hats off to her. Now the snubs, Wicked for good.
Wicked biggest, got zero. Goose
biggest
egg.
Snub of all. Yeah, nothing. Nothing at all. I can't believe that. Frankenstein up for Best Picture, but Guillermo del Toro did not get a nomination for Best Director, which...
That one's always weird.
Usually he does.
Yes.
When his name is in the conversation, usually he does.
Oh, this is his entire vision. He's like a Frankenstein. He loves Frankenstein.
Yes. This is his thing.
This is his thing.
The Rock was kind of hoping, I think, to get an acting nomination
that's right,
for
that
Smashing Machine. Didn't happen.
MME movie.
Avatar Fire and Ash did get 2 nominations for visual effects and costumes, but it's the first movie of the franchise to not be nominated for Best Picture.
People, maybe it's the thing with Wicked. It's like you're just giving me the same movie repackaged.
We already know it.
Right. Avatar and water, Avatar and fire. It's the same story.
We're rewarding the new ideas.
Yes.
Maybe.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the fact that Sinners, that is Hollywood saying more new ideas, please.
Yes. Go weird. We like it. The Oscars go down on Sunday, March 15th, and Conan O'Brien returns as the host. I kind of forgot he was the host last time, too. Okay. Bit of a left turn here, but yesterday Iowa's own Ashton Kutcher was on Good Morning America. He's promoting his new FX series, The Beauty, which is streaming on Hulu. But he said, you know, after this whole acting thing, and I know he's got his fingers in a lot of business adventures.
He invested
as well.
Young in a lot of startups like Uber.
He's very smart.
Yes.
Very smart. But he's going to do something different. He said he's decided that he wants to write a country music album. And he's like, I get it. I'm not a very good singer, but he's not going to let that slow him down. He's like, I'm just going to do it anyway because I want to write an album. He likes the storytelling. And some people might be shocked by it, but he has been kind of close as he's, you know, a Hollywood star. He's kind of gone to the ACM Awards before and hung out with country music.
He has so many different network circles, right? So the writing part doesn't surprise me. It's whether or not he will perform.
The performance part, I do raise an eyebrow.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if I've heard you sing, so let's see how that goes. I hope it's full of a lot of heartache.
I want just that old, old, old country sound.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. May we suggest something kind of like this,
yes.
Ashton?
Every video is shot in Montana. There's just a vista in the background.
Yes. And you have to have a truck and a dog and at least one or both or all for
sure.
The songs.
Yes. Yes,
please. Thank you.
By a lake.
Martin Short was a guest at Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco's wedding, as were so many famous people, right? And it was kind of like one of those events where your head is probably spinning. There's so many famous people.
It's like the Golden Globes.
Yeah, basically.
Except there's a band.
Yeah.
And a dance floor.
People exchanging vows. And then you get to the reception.
Yes.
And it's just a big Hollywood party, right? Well, Martin Short was kind of there with Steve Martin. They're kind of a set. They're a matching pair, right? And they're hanging out at their coworker Selena Gomez's wedding. And Martin Short, like, hey, Steve, you want to get some cake? I'll get you a slice, buddy. And he goes up to the cake and he cuts a piece out of the cake and he serves it to Steve Martin. And then they realize that's the wedding cake and it has not been cut yet. He thought it was like there was multiple cakes around the room, but that was like the main cake.
Well, you started to tell me that story. I'm like, what do you mean you cut your own piece of cake? It's always pre-cut. Oh my God, he cut the wrong cake.
He cut
the cake.
Luckily, he tried to fix it with a fork, just kind of like slide that back in there and then pat the frosting down. But the wedding coordinator and the chef stepped in and they were able to repair the cake for him.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Also, because I think they're a little older, because that happens not too late into the ceremony.
Right.
That they're like, let's have cake and get out, right? Like, they just wanted to leave.
They were done for the night.
They were done.
Yeah. And they still had not cut the cake
yet. No, the whole thing hasn't happened yet.
Bit of a problem. And so he's like, you know what? They fixed it for me and like nobody needs to know. But then later in the evening, as Benny and Selena are making their rounds, thanking everybody for being there, she's like, so I heard you cut my cake. She found out. She was not too upset. It's cake.
It's cake.
And you know what?
It's your two adopted dads from your TV show. You're good.
I can't stay mad at you, Marty. Get some cake. And it's cake. Like, cut the cake so your guests can have some, Selena.
Usually, it's like, we do a toast, and there's first dance, and then we cut the cake. And then they cut the cake before you start the meal.
Yes!
So you get the cake ready to go.
Thank you!
That's how it happens in the Midwest.
Let us help you. Next time, let us help.
And then there's a buffet with cheesy potatoes.
Oh, that sounds so good. I want to go to a wedding now. That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
Welcome to the fourth week of the year 2026, broadcasting from an elevation of 840 feet above sea level, latitude 41.88 degrees north, and a longitude of 91.72 degrees west. Wake up the kids because they don't have school, probably. Let's learn them something in the world of science.
Let's learn them something today.
It's nerd news, everybody. Okay.
Is this one of your coldest nerd news ever?
This is the coldest nerd news. I don't think I've ever done a nerd news when it was minus 42 right now with the wind chill.
Wow.
Last week, they had to evacuate four astronauts from the International Space Station due to a medical emergency. Hard stop. That's all they said.
Yes.
You and I started speculating. Could it have been a bar fight?
It's an International Space Station.
That's close quarters, right?
I was thinking you probably get mad at somebody and it blows up and yeah, fisticuffs.
And then I proposed that they'd been up there for about 5.5 months. And while they're not saying who it is, we had kind of figured out it was either the male or female astronaut from the United States. And I'm like, space baby. That's what I was thinking.
That's what you said.
Well, now NASA is still saying nothing, but they're saying everything.
What?
The astronauts who were evacuated last week held a news conference on Wednesday and in the course of conversation said having a portable ultrasound machine came in super handy during the medical crisis and usually use ultrasounds
in my world
only for pregnancies.
Yeah.
That's all they said.
I mean, you can use it for other
Now, according
things.
To them, they do use it on the ship or space station frequently just to see the effects of weightlessness on your body because they're always running that experiment.
Yes.
But that's all they're saying still.
So were they trying to calm people down like it's not a baby, but we did get an ultrasound?
Because they're nerds. To them, it's just, I'm telling you a fact because I'm an astronaut because I give facts.
And here we are reading the tea leaves.
No what kidding. So, do we know anymore? No. Am I still highly suspicious? Yes. Space baby.
Your conference to alleviate all of it just completely went the wrong
direction.
You
doubled down on what we're all believing without meaning to do so.
You nerds.
It was NASA's first medical evacuation in 65 years of human spaceflight, by the way.
Wow.
Okay. The decision for the company Hasbro, who makes Mr. Potato Head.
Yes.
To move its headquarters from Rhode Island to Boston, Massachusetts.
It's Potato Headquarters. Go on.
Thank you. to move its potato headquarters has caused a bit of a stir in Rhode Island, and here's why. In the state of Rhode Island, since the year 2002, you could get a Mr. Potato Head license plate.
Oh, man!
And every Mr. Potato Head license plate...
They all have them, because that's fun.
I would hope the entire state would have them. It donates a portion of the money that you pay for that special plate back to the Rhode Island Community Food Bank.
Oh, my gosh!
So since 2002, that has raised nearly $60,000.
Are you happy, Hasbro?
Now, Hasbro's like, look, business is business, friends. We're just moving to Boston. It makes sense for our business. Now, Rhode Island's legislature is like, hold up.
You're not going anywhere.
You can move, but we're taking away our license plates that promote your product. So now there's a debate in the legislative body of Rhode Island whether or not they want to stick it to Hasbro because, hey, bro, you're moving to a different state.
Not cool, bro.
Not cool, Hasbro, moving your Mr. Potato headquarters out of our tiny little state. It's political.
It's so highly political.
We do not have a final decision. It's still up for debate.
It's politics that involve Mr. Potato Head.
It's Mr. Potato Head politics.
Best kind of politics.
Can't get any better than that. I do love the idea, though, that in the state of Rhode Island, you can request a Mr. Potato Head license plate.
Why can't we do something like that? Could we get Captain Kirk license plates?
Wait a minute. Brilliant.
Thank you.
Why couldn't you have a Captain Kirk license plate or a Starfleet Academy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just have that little symbol on the left-hand side.
Pop culture.
We have all the other colleges in Iowa. Technically, Starfleet Academy hasn't been built yet, but there is one here, is there not?
The future is now. Let's get ready for it.
Great idea. Put a pin in that.
Okay.
For eons down the road. Speaking of eons, let's go back in time. And I want to talk about prehistoric kangaroos.
What are those?
Prehistoric kangaroos are kangaroos that roamed the earth somewhere between 13 million and 35,000 years ago. And scientists have a very basic question. They understand based on fossils that a typical kangaroo is like 90 to 250 pounds. These were double the size.
Hey.
Isn't that cool?
Wow.
Big kangaroos. The question is, at that weight, could they successfully hop without injuring themselves? Because they're carrying twice the mass.
How do you know that a T-Rex wasn't a prehistoric kangaroo?
Well, there's no evidence of T-Rexes hopping. The big question here...
Well, also, that's
an amphibian. This is a mammal. Like, they know the difference. I think you're getting into the evolution question, which is not covered in the story.
But in the kangaroo world, I don't know.
It's kangaroo bones, not dino bones. How they know, it's probably where it was, where dinosaurs roamed versus where kangaroos would roam.
And it links back to the kangaroo.
And they want to specifically figure out if it had to hop without injuring itself, could it get all 550 pounds up in the air and land and not hurt a hip and do it again and keep doing it?
Is it possible?
Well, the best guess, because they have to computer simulate, is yes, but limited. So today's kangaroo, much more active. Prehistoric, Netflix and chill is what they're saying. That's the scientific term I'm bringing into the equation.
Yeah.
And it also sounds like they just like to basically hang out in their caves. And the only reason they would actually have to hop is to go out for food, to hop over rocky terrain, or if they're being chased.
I think we majorly upgraded the miniature kangaroo here.
I think we got the better model?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yes.
These guys were just hanging out in caves, just like,
Best we know.
I get food.
They were us. Oh, my God.
That's me. That's me in the wintertime.
Oh, my.
I'm not wearing a shirt.
You're a prehistoric kangaroo.
I'm not wearing a shirt.
I'm
about 550 pounds, and I'm laying on the couch hoping food finds me.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
B102.9.
I mean, it wasn't planned yesterday. It just kind of happened that way. And we did a lot of wondering aloud, thinking on things. And I don't know that we came up with a lot of hard answers. So we thought we would turn to somebody who has the answers. Retired Iowa State Trooper, Trooper Bob.
Good morning. It's great to be back here on this coldest day of the year, probably.
A day like today, if you were still in uniform, would it be a day you would wake up and just dread because you know you're outside?
You know, it's one of those days where you prepare for it, right? You know it's going to be freezing cold out there. There might be a few extra snacks in there. I'll take a bottle of water that's not frozen in my car.
Yeah.
And layers. I would tell you, when we see weather like this coming, not only do we prepare for the public from law enforcement's perspective, but we also prepare for ourselves. And layers, layers, and layers, gloves. There will probably be three stocking caps and four pairs of layers or four gloves, because as you know, you'll have three rights and one left. So you have plenty of stuff in your car.
It's like socks.
Sometimes I'll jump in the car like, I'm just going to run over really quick, and I'm not going to grab my winter coat because that's a whole thing. But on days like this, when, God forbid, something bad happens, you're going to need those layers.
That's the worst. You know, throw a blanket in the back or something, because you do get into a crash. And a real quick story, there was a crash we had early in the morning on Interstate 80. And what had happened was there wasn't many people out there. A young lady lost control, hit the median, and no one saw her crash. Here's a car sitting up against the median barrier, and there was other cars in the ditch from prior accidents and crashes, and no one knew she was in there. And along comes someone else, law enforcement stops on the vehicle, checks on it. She'd been in there, broken out window, no lights because it took the battery out, and frostbite and hypothermia had set in. And so it can be life-threatening quick. So, you know, have stuff in your car with you. You know, really think about that. If you see something on the side of the road like that, call it in. We'll check on it three times.
I mean, that was something, every time we had you on, it's like, don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call.
Absolutely.
You're there to take that phone call. Okay, so let's say you are in a hurry, and regardless of coats or blankets, your car is covered in snow. Mm-hmm. This came to us yesterday for a jury in a hurry, and two coworkers were debating, is just scraping off the front window good enough to get by, or is there actually a penalty if you don't clean the car?
There is. There's a code section. It's 321-438. It's called windshields and side windows. And basically it says you can have no obstruction on those windows. It's your front window. Matter of fact, the law even goes, and this tells you how dated some of the stuff is. It says a person shall not drive a motor vehicle equipped with a windshield side wing windows. A lot of people have to look that up and Google that. But old cars used to have little side wing windows you'd open up instead of air conditioning because they didn't have it.
You wouldn't roll it down. Yeah. You would flip it open.
Flip open. Yeah, exactly. Or side or rear windows, which do not permit clear vision. That covers the ice and snow on your window. So that means all the fronts, the sides, and the back, and your side wing window that need to be clear.
Now, would I have to clear off my headlights?
By law. In this state of Iowa, I would say probably technically not, but don't let me give you a pass on that. Headlights is the reason we have so many driving lights on cars now that you can't turn on and off is because we want to see you.
Yeah.
So I would say as you're clearing off your side windows, hit those both headlights, get that cleared off, and taillights because we need to see that. Clear vision does apply to taillights and headlights when needed. So when I say the headlights are kind of a gray area, we don't require headlights to be used except during nighttime. So what happens? We get in the car, it turns dark while we're driving. Now our headlights are covered. Now it's illegal.
Yeah.
Can we talk about what's on top of the car, though? Because I think, Eric, you said the story yesterday. You guys were driving down the street and an icy chunk
came off a truck and broke part of our hood. I realize it's being able to see. Top of the car is also the hardest part to clean off.
Yes.
So that's probably, please do it, but we don't have a statute for that.
Yeah, because what happens is you really blind someone behind you, right? And so the whole pay it forward attitude of do unto others, do unto yourself, you know, you got to really think about that. There is a code in the commercial law for semis. So you see the semis going down the road. They will have huge amounts of snow and ice on top. There is a commercial code that said they must clear those off before leaving a yard, before getting on the roadway. In the vehicle code, though, is a little different than the commercial vehicle code.
Interesting.
And so there isn't quite a specific. Now, if that snow came off the top or ice came off the top of your vehicle and we could prove it caused a crash, hit somebody, broke a windshield, someone, you know, went in the ditch. There obviously is things that are unsafe vehicle. We could probably go down that road.
It would fall under that category.
Yeah, but semis and trucks like that, actually some of these yards have for trucks that are a certain height, you drive out and it actually clears the top
like a big
off.
Scraper?
Yeah, like a big scraper for the,
Can I just pause before we get into this yielding the right of way? The amount of stuff that is in your head still.
You just memorized.
Is unbelievable.
Section code.
Oh my goodness.
We try.
It's impressed.
35 years of this and I can't leave it. It's there. It's stuck.
Retired Trooper Bob, so gracious to come in this morning to help us work our way through some questions with winter driving. Now you've got a very specific question, regardless of weather, that comes to with yielding, Claire.
Yeah, I've just noticed this more and more recently and I'm like, I don't know if I'm remembering driver's ed incorrectly. But I have been trying to talk through things as I'm teaching my daughter how to drive. And one of the things I keep seeing over and over again is people not yielding right of way, whether it is a roundabout or, you know, I'm going to go fast. I'm just going to cut in front of this car, or even in residential side streets where I'm the oncoming traffic and people come right into my lane of traffic and it freaks me out.
I have three words for you.
Okay.
You are right.
I love
knew
those
you
words,
would like
Bob.
That. I knew it. I knew it. Know your audience. So 321 297. There you go.
Thank you.
Driving on the right side of the roadway. And I'm going to give the one that specifically talks about you. When an obstruction exists, making it necessary to drive to the left of center of the roadway, provide any other person shall do that, yield right away. That person shall only do when safe.
So Claire's approaching me, and you have nobody parked on your side of the road.
She's on the right side of the road.
And I am, I've got a car, like, so I would have to go to the left.
You'd have
into
to
your lane.
Yep.
I need to yield.
You're correct.
That's what the law says.
If something's in your way, if you go left to center, so think of it, if I'm going to the wrong side of the road, I can't do it until I can do it safely. And Claire's coming down the road, driving the speed limit, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Yes.
Always.
So yes, you are correct on that one. And a lot of people forget that, right? We get kind of in our own space, in our own head. We're thinking about other things.
Yeah.
And we know we got to go around that car. We're not thinking very far ahead. That's where people get in trouble. And most crashes, I would say, are that way. We think about what's going on in front of us, not what's down the road.
Mm.
And head-on crashes are bad. I don't care if they're at 25 mile an hour or 75 mile an hour.
Always,
Wow. So, I knew you'd like the right part.
Oh, yeah. I feel like... lighter now?
You're validated.
A weight has lifted.
A weight has lifted off my shoulders. I am validated.
No, it was funny listening to you yesterday talk about that, because it is a lot of frustration for people.
Yeah.
And so many people over my career have said things just like that. Don't we have to do this? And so when I reached out and said, and you guys are doing an excellent job for law enforcement today, and you said, come on in, I'd love it. So this is what it's all about.
Well, this is an open invitation.
Yes.
From this moment on, RTB, you've got we'll give you a key.
Is that just because I brought donuts?
Also, that double down on my, I was going to invite you either way.
Which, by the way, you said you could never purchase in uniform.
I could never do it. I could not. You will never have seen me buy a donut in uniform. So now that I have the beard started, I can buy donuts in uniform. These are actually donut sickles. Maybe this is something for Ben Benner Prizes. We could do something for anyway.
Retired RTB, retired Trooper Bob. Hopefully a new frequent guest coming up in 2026 on the Morning Scramble. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
in. Good
you.
To see
Thank
you. Happy
you.
New Year.
Great to see you.
This is the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble
on Z102.9.
The education version.
The education version, indeed. Yes, we're going to do a little bit of learning, and it's going to be fun. It's a heck of a spin, sir.
Do I have to call you Miss Claire? The teacher of my one-room schoolhouse?
It's Ms.
Ms. Claire. She's a spinstress. Spinstress? Is that the term?
No. Ms. is, you don't get either way.
I just Ms. What are we at? Four, please.
Number four. Palindromes. Does anybody know? Show of hands. Who knows what a palindrome is? Eric.
Isn't a palindrome a word that is spelled the same way backwards and forwards?
That is correct. That is a palindrome.
Thank you.
That's not the fact, though.
Head of the class.
The longest palindrome in English is...
A man a playing Panama? No, what is it?
That's a phrase. The longest word.
Oh, word itself?
Word itself.
That's a palindrome?
Mm-hmm. And it's not Taco Cat.
Because Taco Cat is two words. What is it?
Tet-a-rat-tet.
Tet-a-rat-tet.
Tet-a-rat. Tet-a-rat-tet-tet.
To drum, right? Tet-a-rat-tet-tet?
Well, to drum is the sound of a drum, but it was actually created in Ulysses by James Joyce. It describes the sound of knocking on a door.
Tet-a-rat-tet-tet.
Tet-a-rat-tet-tet.
And that's a palindrome?
Yes. Tet-a-rat-tet-tet is a palindrome.
Wow.
Thanks, Ms. Claire. Isn't learning fun with Ms. Claire?
Learning with Ms. Claire. Nine, please.
Thank you for giving the S on Ms. a Z.
You're welcome. Ma'am, nine.
Incisor teeth on rodents?
Those are the ones more on the back, right? Those are your incisors?
I think they're the ones in the front.
Oh, those are your molars.
Yeah.
Your incisors are the front.
Incisors the front.
Okay.
They never stop growing.
Now, does this go hand in hand with, like, lobsters also never stop growing, and the reason they die is basically they kill themselves? So you're telling me what? What is it with the animal kingdom?
So I'm telling you what.
And what types of animals? Rodents?
Rodents. So rodentia is actually a specific term for rodents. That's like why they gnaw. They got to control the leg
to have
teeth.
Nubby teeth?
Yeah, they got to control the teeth.
Are you kidding me?
Teeth just keep growing, and the only thing they can do about it is kind of gnaw and keep the teeth in check.
That's crazy.
Yeah, rodentia.
Everybody up from your desks. Woo! Exercise time.
We got to get the blood pumping, don't we?
I'm your PE teacher, Mr. Hansen. Got a whistle around my neck. Woo! Got a clipboard tucked Woo! Between my bike shorts. Woo! Okay, six.
Number six? Uranus was originally named...
What?
Uranus?
Go on. Tell me more about my
when
anus.
When I grew up, it was Uranus, okay?
I also had Uranus.
And we didn't giggle because we were adults about it.
That's right. I apologize. Back to Uranus.
You want me to call it Uranus. Okay, Uranus.
No, I'm okay with Uranus.
You know what? We should have just gone with its original name.
Which was what?
Herschel.
I love Planet Herschel.
I do too. Why
it's also my favorite item on the breakfast menu at Cracker Barrel.
It's the Herschel.
The Herschel.
The Uncle Herschel.
Yes.
So Uranus, whatever you say, Herschel. It was discovered by astronomer William Herschel in 1781. And then several decades later, they changed it because that was the Uranus.
Because they were mad at him?
Because they got mad at Uncle Herschel. No, they decided to name it after the Greek god instead.
No. It could have been named Bill. It could have been named William.
Herschel's a great
name. It is
name.
A fantastic, fantastic name.
We should have shirts that say, Keep Uranus Herschel.
And not explain it.
If you know, you know.
Keep Uranus Herschel. That's it.
Educate yourself.
I love that. It's just vague enough.
We're getting shirts. What was the number? You said it before.
I've got it written down. I know okay, what it is. It's number, go to pile number six, number please. Six. So it's the same pile you just got Uranus Herschel at. Keep Uranus Herschel.
Okay. Keep Uranus Herschel. You and I love the Muppets, right?
Yes.
Who doesn't love the Muppets? Remember their song, Mana Mana?
Do 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 do
yeah.
Do 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 do
do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do do.
Yes.
Oh, I'm gonna ruin your day. It was not an original Muppet song. No. It was originally an Italian song written in 1968. It was the soundtrack to an adult film.
What?
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Starring Uranus Herschel.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at kzia.com.
Okay, have a good day.